Because I think that is a big fear for a lot of people is if I tell my partner I need space, she'll feel disappointed, she'll feel threatened, she'll feel hurt, she'll feel some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to share a celebration before we get into this episode. This is from one of our graduates who was having a really hard time when he first joined us in our program and has come a long way since then. You know who you are. This is a really beautiful and evocative share, and we'll see if I can get through it without crying. He says, I wanted to let you know that last Friday, Paula and I went out for dinner and then she met some of my friends at a small party someone was hosting. I was far from drunk, but I didn't need to drive, so she drove us back to my place and stayed the night. It felt so good to have her warm body snuggled up next to mine. And we did have sex. Make love. I can be sentimental. That night. I told her the next morning I was surprised she stayed, and she said, "You told me you wanted me to stay." I said, "I know I did, but I didn't know if you would." I told her that I enjoyed it, not only because it was good, but also it was healing in a way. She agreed. This is the first time either of us has been sexually intimate with someone since my breakup over 8 months ago and her husband's death 1 year ago. I talked with her later that day, and she said after I took her home in the morning, she sat and cried. I told her I understand, and she should not beat herself up over how she feels. Grief is not a tidy, neat emotion that's simple to overcome. Hell, I still feel guilt to someone to whom I owe nothing. I think the biggest difference for me right now is being okay with not having all the answers, sharing hard feelings, and being okay with what either of us feels. I do not know where this will lead, but I know we can share and hold our sorrows while moving forward one step at a time. Neither of us has all the answers, but we can just sit with it and be there for one another. I am nowhere close to completely over my ex, and Paula understands that because she is nowhere close to being over her husband. But we both know it's okay, because life is messy, challenging, painful, and messy. Yet that is precisely what makes special moments beautiful. I love that share. I'm trying to hold back tears at the moment, because I think that one of the things that I find so beautiful and so gratifying about this work is watching men lean into their power. And power doesn't mean power over, it means the authentic ability to be with what is actually happening in the moment, and to share that with another human being is one of the highest forms of love, in my opinion. So thank you to the man who shared this with me and who was willing to have it be shared with all of you. I hope that you found it inspiring as I did. And I really just want to say that I appreciate you being here, whoever you are, wherever you are. Listening, I appreciate you leaning into growth and learning and consciousness and awareness. And I think that the more that all of us do that, the better off the world is. And the more open and receptive we all are to our own selves, and the more able we are to share that with others, I think the more healing and connection there is. So thank you for being part of the community.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. I'm happy to have Jason with me today.
Excited to be back.
Thank you for being here. We are talking about space in love relationship. What happens when you or your partner needs space? And I think this is an interesting topic for a variety of reasons, one of which is that we're not given necessarily the best role modeling from culture around this topic. You know, I think that I remember one of the responses. So I did a survey of our clients, and some of my women friends or women in my women's circles. And a theme that came up a few times was that the model was, well, aren't we supposed to do everything together? Like, aren't we, if we're a close couple, aren't we supposed to do everything together? And I think that there's, the truth is that different people have different needs for space and different amounts of space that's needed. And that's not always, you know, portrayed in a rom-com, let's say. So we're going to talk about a few things today. One is, what does it mean to you to need space? And then what happens when your partner asks for space? And what is your experience when you get the space you need versus when you don't? So that's kind of where we're going. And we'll sort of start with some of our personal shares. And I'll also work in a lot of the responses from our people. So, yeah, and I'm curious to hear, you know, in your own personal lived experience, Jason, especially, I would say, sort of as a recovering nice guy, I'm curious to hear what it means to you to need space in the context of a love relationship.
Yeah, it's definitely something I need, and I've had to get better at advocating for. It tends to link up for me these days with doing men's work in men's groups. That's actually one of the places I kind of get my space. And that's a priority for me, which means it's a priority for my family. And we have to, my wife, my child have to reorient their lives around that sometimes. And as of now, it's worth it because I come back and I'm more present than I would be otherwise when I'm not getting that space. And it becomes pretty clear if I haven't taking care of myself in that way for a long time, whether it's going to a men's event or just taking space for myself, you know, I'm less here, frankly. And it wasn't something I was always great at. My previous long-term relationship, I like was just getting the capacity to even identify when I needed space or was burnt out and had a particular partner who, yeah, it was just kind of more us, you know, me and her. She didn't have a whole lot of network outside of herself at that time. And so it was really hard for me to ask for space because I felt like I was hurting her, and it sometimes did hurt her if I wasn't available. And so instead of, you know, saying no and taking care of myself, I would often kind of go along and then, you know, just be sleepy or not be super present. And that wasn't particularly pleasant for her. And in the end, that wasn't pleasant for me. So I've had to get better in my current relationship where, yeah, my wife and I both work from home. We spend all day together. We've been raising a kid through COVID together and have had to get really good at taking space, which sometimes is in the big ways. And then in other times is little ways. So, you know, I've carved out like a little space in our backyard where I go work out. And it is very useful for me to go back there and kind of be in my own little world for, you know, an hour a day. And in these, and just in this bigger sense, you know, I'll still take myself to like a movie or a hike or certain things that it feels so good to do alone, to just not have to tend anyone, take care of anyone, can do exactly what I want. And, my relationship thrives more when I'm taking that space. And when I allow my partner to take some space, I actually often encourage her to like go off on retreat or do other things because same thing, she comes back more energized and that works for our relationship. We do a lot together and we're very clear we need to have separate spaces with each other. And the more we do that, the more we thrive.
I love that you're speaking to this part about needing the space and then also what happens after, right? That you're more present. This is one of the responses from one of our men. This is, how does it feel when you don't get the space that you need? And he said, if I don't get it, which sometimes happens when I ignore my own need and don't take it, I eventually get numb and lose the ability to relate, listen, and empathize. I almost always feel better after I get the space. So there's something about being too much togetherness or too much, I guess you could call it connection for this man actually leads to a sense of numbing, right? Numbing out and losing the ability to relate and listen and empathize. And then taking that space and having that space then when he comes back, he's more available. I think that's really the word. And that's part of what I heard in your share was that you're more available for the people you love at home when you've taken the space that you needed and you got nourished in this other way. And I think that's one of the themes that came up in a lot of the responses was sort of the ways that it's re-energizing. It's energizing or re-energizing to get that space. This is one of the other responses. What does it feel like when you don't get the space you need? And then what does it feel like when you do? He says, not having enough space in a relationship can feel like a slow erosion of my essence, leading to a profound sense of loss. It's a state where my needs and interests are compromised to the point where the joy of living is dulled. Conversely, when I have the space to immerse myself in personal interests, reflect quietly without obligation, and engage in activities that rejuvenate my spirit, I feel alive and whole. This freedom allows me to return to my partner with renewed vigor and a deeper appreciation for our connection. So there's something about, you know, a couple of people made the analogy of a battery, that when their battery is low, they aren't as available or present with their partner. And then when they get the space that they need, that battery gets recharged. And so then they're coming back from a more vibrant, free, whole place. And that benefits the relationship. So I really appreciated what you said too about, you know, the willingness to take space, to take the space that you need. I think that what I have observed in many of the men that we work with is that they are working on stepping into their power. And part of what that means is being aware of their own needs, being aware of the need for alone time or the need for space, and then being willing to advocate for that, right? To share that, to express that, to take the space that's needed, that they need. And so one of the things I heard you say was sort of when you were perhaps less developed, right? More in the nice guy archetype, it was harder for you to even recognize that you needed the space. Like you didn't know yourself as well. You weren't as aware of your own needs. And so you didn't realize that was missing. And then beyond that, you know, if you don't realize it's missing, you can't advocate for it. But even if you had known, right, then there's another step around advocating. And I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about that experience of what was it like when you didn't even know that was a need that you had, but it was an experience you were having. Did you feel irritable? Did you feel, you know, what was the effect of not having that need be met?
Yeah, I mean, it's one I still sometimes will experience. So for me, it's kind of just, it's like disappearing a little bit, kind of there, not really there, withdrawing, whether that's, you know, these days, you know, paradoxically a way to unskillfully often take space in any situation is to go into the phone, you know, and I'll still do that sometimes and definitely did that back then, or just kind of veg out. And yeah, it was like disappearing for me. And that's probably my biggest telltale kind of on myself. Sometimes it could get irritable. I think the more now I'm more likely to get irritable in a sense, because I'm more noticing the actual energy in my body versus before it was just like kind of numbing out to discomfort in a sense, trying to avoid that. So yeah, there's almost a direct correlation between, you know, how engaged in the present moment I feel and how resourced in that sense I am. And when I'm not, then I kind of just get a little floaty, spacey, not really there, that my partners and my child definitely notice, you know? And yeah, when I was particularly not aware, I think, yeah, I would just kind of withdraw, not really talk, you know, be there, not really there. I was going fine. You know, it's just kind of it's like I got sealed off from the world and wasn't really available.
Yeah, that's powerful. That last part, it's like I got sealed off and wasn't really there. And I think that's an experience that many feminine partners have had of okay, you're technically in the room, right? Like you're physically present, but I don't know where you are. I can't feel you. Where are you? And it can be, I think, perhaps confusing or frustrating to be on the receiving end of that, because it's like, I'm right here, right? You can picture the fight, right? It's like, she's like, where are you? What's going on? And he's like, I'm right here. What are you talking about? I'm sitting right here. It's like, well, not really. Your body is here, but your presence, I can't feel you. You know, it's an attunement thing where it's like, I want to feel you present with me. You know, there's a reason that we call our program Pillars of Presence, because presence is, I would say, the thing that the feminine craves the most, that desires the most, that wants the most from their partners. And it's also what often leads to the most aliveness and the most growth and the most, I don't know, verve in life, is being deeply present in the moment with what's actually happening. So yeah, I think there's that answer to that question, what does it mean to you to take space in the context of a love relationship, is predicated a bit on, you got to know that you need it. In order to advocate for it, you got to know that you need it. So I think, and that dovetails nicely with my answer, which is, what does it mean to need space in the context of a love relationship? I think this is something that I'm still negotiating and navigating in my own experience, partly because I'm a very strong extrovert, and introversion and extroversion is part of this topic, because in my experience, there's a lot of confusion around introverts and extroverts. We've actually done an episode about introversion and extroversion. If you're interested in that, I would recommend that you go listen to it. It's pretty specific to that topic. But as an extrovert myself, and you can speak to being an introvert, I have a high need for connection, and I have a high need for companionship and togetherness and all of that. And I do still need space. I do still need not just alone time, but to me, the context is, needing space in a love relationship in part just means I need time apart from that person. So I might be with my friends, but I'm taking space from the relationship. And for me, as an extrovert and a verbal processor, I tend to think aloud. So sometimes I will, this is a term one of my friends and I use a lot, I will get emotionally constipated, which means that I haven't processed my feelings with people that I love, that I trust, that I care about, often my women friends. So I might have had a lot of interaction that day, and I might have talked a lot, but I haven't actually processed. I haven't been witnessed in how I'm feeling on a deep level, and that will lead to emotional constipation. And so one of the balances that I need in my life is making sure that I am taking space, taking the space that I need in that context, meaning, finding someone that I love and care about that can listen to me, that I can share with whatever's on my heart with no filters, and knowing that that's a safe space, which is different from just spending time with other people. There's a different quality to it. So, and I think taking space for me is sometimes also, I guess, I don't know if I would call it a risk exactly, but it's sort of like, how much space am I supposed to need, right? I don't have an answer to that. There isn't a concrete answer to that. But I think that this connects to what we were saying about the rom-coms, which is like, well, if eventually I want to live with a partner, shouldn't I practice being around them all the time? Isn't that a good thing? When really it's like, you're constantly learning and evolving and figuring out how to interact with each other, within the context of a couple, or really with anyone, but this is what this topic is about. And there isn't going to be a right or wrong answer. And I think this also connects to the episode that I did called Stepping Off the Relationship Escalator, which is, you know, not all couples live together. Some couples don't live in the same house. Some don't live in the same city. Some choose to have two bedrooms. I know several couples that, if they're in a privileged enough position financially to be able to make that work, they have separate bedrooms. They have their physical things in separate rooms, and they have space that they can take. That's like, this is my room. This is my space. I loved what you said about, you know, your workout area in the backyard, because that word space, you know, we're talking about emotional space, but it's connected to physical space, right? Taking actual physical space, even if it's a small part of the yard that feels like yours, right? This is my little man cave. it feels different. It feels different. It meets a certain need for us. Like, this is my area. This is my space. And it feels good, feels nourishing in some deep way. And togetherness also feels nourishing. There's nothing wrong with either one, but there is a balance that needs to be struck in any relationship. I think that's really the truth, is that everyone needs space. Everyone needs space in some way. And it's just a matter of figuring out what that feels like and looks like for you and in your partnership. And that's the part that isn't always discussed in the open, right? It's sort of a hidden topic, or it exists in the shadows. And we're going to start to move into now, you know, what does it feel like when your partner says they need space? Or what is it like for you to share with a partner that you need space? Because that's where I think the rubber meets the road, in terms of it can be scary to ask for the space that we need because we are concerned about threatening the relationship. And I'm curious if you can maybe share a little bit about that and your experience.
Yeah, I tend to be the more avoidant ones in most of my relationships, and not that the space taking is, you know, directly correlated to that, but just, I am more introverted. It's more natural for me to desire a little more space to myself. So I've tended to be more on that side versus a partner saying, like, I need to take space and get out of here. You know, in some conflict, that's definitely happened in my marriage, where my partner just had to leave the house and I had to just be okay with that. Like, okay, that's what she needs to do to take care of herself. I'm going to be okay. We're going to be okay. It's not the end of the world. But you know, the few times I've had to deal with that, yeah, some anxiety came up for sure, of like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going on? But in general, it would be me needing to take more of the space. So I haven't had to deal with that side as much. I think it's just more my natural disposition, which is not always a good thing, right? Sometimes I gravitate a little bit too much to space and kind of being in my own little world. And that's something I've had to kind of work against, that sometimes of, no, I need to lean into connection right now, because that's actually what I need, even though my body's telling me, sometimes my body's telling me take space, when actually what's important here is to get reconnected. So yeah, I haven't had to deal with that one personally as much in terms of partners needing to take space.
What about you communicating that you need space? How has that gone? Because I think that is a big fear for a lot of people, is if I tell my partner I need space, she'll feel disappointed, she'll feel threatened, she'll feel hurt, she'll feel some kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in my current, you know, in my marriage, it's not really that big a deal. I mean, because we understand, she understands me, I understand her, we understand that needing space does not mean I don't value the relationship, that those two things can actually coexist, in that sometimes, you know, for me to be able to show up in the relationship, I need some time. I just need some time. So my partner's very supportive of me in that, you know, if there's any tension, it's sometimes just the logistics of, okay, when can we make this happen that you can take off or do this thing? And then we'll start to reorient around that. But I could tell you, it feels great when it's like, yeah, I want to go on a hike with my buddy, or just go off and do some things at the coffee shop or whatever. And my partner's like, okay, yeah, great. She trusts me, right? That I'm not, that if I'm asking for that, it's for good reason. Like that, okay, he's in touch with himself. I can trust that this is what he needs right now. Might not always be her favorite thing. Like, oh, I was hoping we could hang out tonight or whatever, but she'll work with me on that. So that's not been the case, obviously, like I said, in every relationship. So, you know, again, it was one of those things I discovered with my partner early on with Violet, was that, yeah, we were able to do that, right? Though it just, when we first started dating, we were kind of living apart and I had to do things, she had to do things, I had to travel. And it was pretty clear that this was available to us as a capacity we could hold in our relationship. And it's played out since then. And it was something I was pretty clear about, you know, going into my next relationship, that I wanted to be a bigger strength, that we could both take that space, so to speak.
Yeah, this was a poignant response. Someone said, it can be hurtful when your partner asks or informs you they need space. it's hard not to take it personally. I try to respond with love and understanding, as freaking out about it will only make things worse. I've been asked for space on a handful of occasions in the 20 years I have known my partner. When approached with love and understanding, some space has made our relationship stronger and better. Someone else said, the question was, what does it feel like when your partner tells you they need space? How do you respond? This person said, for decades, I would feel threatened or triggered and go into a downward emotional spiral. After many years of personal work, I understand that my partner's need for space is not a threat. He needs time with his guys, time for hobbies, time with himself and his higher power, just like I do. I now encourage him to take space when he feels the need. It's a new and freedom-giving gift that we can give each other. I really loved the way that she responded. For decades, I would feel threatened or triggered and go into a downward spiral. And I think that's just the perfect way of phrasing it, because I think a lot of people will relate to that. Of it can feel threatening. That's the truth. If a partner is asking for space, and it doesn't have to feel threatening, meaning you can intellectually understand it and it can still be a little scary. And I think that's part of the intention behind this episode, is to bring this need into the light, because it's not something that we talk about a lot. It's not something that's, you know, involved in, let's say, the marriage vows, right? Like, I vow to give you the space that you need in this relationship to thrive. That's not part of the quote normal vows. But as you've mentioned before, I think Kendra Kunov said this, but I don't know where it came from, but space is the sixth love language. Space is the sixth love language. So it's a deep need. And I think, again, coming back to some of the responses from our clients, this person said, I've experienced the brutal, slow loss of self in codependent relationships. I don't think I read this one. I've experienced the brutal, slow loss of self in codependent relationships where my own needs faded into the background. Space for me means having the freedom to engage in adventures with friends, to think and be without the obligation of managing others' emotions, and to make some independent decisions. This isn't about distancing, but about ensuring I can return to my partner energized, maintaining my individuality while contributing positively to our union. Witnessing the dynamics in my friends' healthy relationships, where space is given and received with trust and joy, has underscored the value of this balance for a thriving partnership. That, I thought that was so evocative. I've experienced the brutal, slow loss of self in codependent relationships. I know we've used this analogy before and people say it a lot, but I do think there is something about the frog in boiling water in codependent relationships that he's pointing to, of, I didn't realize that my entire sense of self was being eroded until way past when I should have left. Or, you know, I think a lot of our clients have experienced relationships like that, have been in relationships like that, where they lost themselves. They lost their essence, the core of who they were. And part of that did have to do with, there wasn't that much, they weren't taking that much space, or they weren't sort of, going to use this word lightly, allowed to take that much space, that they really were in relationships where their partner was so threatened by the idea of them taking any space that it was just easier to not take it. And that's where you get into that isolation, right? Then they become isolated from friends and family and all of that. And there becomes, as you've put it so eloquently before, a cult of two, where you're in this relationship and it's sort of all perhaps on their terms and their reality. And I remember someone calling it once twisty logic land, where like things seem like they make sense, but they don't really. And that can lead to abuse, right? Emotional abuse, physical abuse. That is the perfect environment for abuse to thrive, is when we are isolated and not allowed or taking the space that we actually need. Because there is something sacred about alone time or quiet, right? Just several people have mentioned, including yourself, of being in a place where I don't need to tend to others' needs. I don't need to manage anyone else's emotions. I get to just be with myself. And for those of us that were raised in family systems where we were trained to sacrifice our own needs for others, which is a lot of our clients, I would say, unconsciously, obviously, trained to kind of caretake others, right? I'm going to take care of other people. I'm going to keep the peace. I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure there's as much harmony as there can be. We were not trained to stick with ourselves and actually feel our own feelings and be with what's true in ourselves. So that takes practice. We have to actually learn how to do that. And until we do, you know, often we are, I think, more vulnerable to these kinds of patterns of codependence and self-sacrifice and not asserting our needs, not even knowing what they are, right? I can't tell you the number of clients that we work with who part of why they're coming to work with us is, I don't know what I want exactly, but I want to know what I want. I want to be able to be in my power. I don't even really know what that is. But I was struck recently by a client that we worked with who said something like, you know, I'm in my 40s and I still feel like a boy. I don't feel like a man yet, right? Like I want to feel like a grown-up. He didn't phrase it like this, but like, I want to own my power. I want to be in my power. I want to know what that is. I know what it's not. I'm experiencing what it's not and it sucks. Like, I want to get there. And I think that this is one of the ways to be powerful in relationship is to know when you need space and to be able to take it with grace.
Yeah, there's just two notes there of, so in my lineage, my teacher talked about it, particularly for our inner masculine, again, whether you're man, woman, whatever, but that alpha part of us, that is kind of the more witnessing part, having a space of no demand. So there is no demand on our attention is what is so deeply restorative, meaning even if I love my wife and I love my partner, spending time with her, I'm asked to be present, right? There's actually a demand on my attention in a sense. I can't just have it anywhere. It's to be with her or whatever we're focused on. So where many, many men in particular are malnourished is they have no time of no demand, right? They just overcommit to things. They get into the nice guy thing, whatever that might be. Or sometimes it's self-created in terms of just being so busy or constantly being distracted by devices or things that space is what's particularly healing for that part of us, is to be in a space of no demand. And that's possible to do in a group, in the work I do. I particularly see it's possible with men being around other men, and there's just something about it. I don't know why, but I know it could exist in any configuration, but that's where I often see it come to life. I just get to be. There's nothing I have to do. There's no expectations of me, which is kind of the antidote to that sense of burden that so many men feel. And I think the last thing I'll just share here is a place that particularly shows up. What's so key about this space kind of reframe that we're putting is this is just a big a deal and just as important for parents, that one of the places you see this go out the window so fast is when someone becomes a parent. Oh my God, I need to spend all my time with my kids and I can't take any time for myself. And suddenly, right, there's a lot of demands on a couple or in a single parent in particular. And it is really important. The parents that self-report, you know, thriving the most, being the happiest, they have lives that exist independently of their kids. They are able to say, I know you really want to spend this afternoon with me, but I need to go to the spa and get a few hours on my own, or daddy needs to go on a trip, or whatever that might be. This is a place where we really often see, you know, some of the guys in the most pain are in a relationship where they're spending all their time with each other, and then there's kids, and they have no space for themselves at all. And they wonder why they're lethargic or depressed or not feeling very alive in some sense. And I think this is just a really big, important one. That again, you know, for a lot of parents, it's like, oh my God, is it selfish? My kid needs me. It's like, no, you gotta, you know, we often use the platitude of you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. This is a really hard lesson to learn. But it's so crucial that we all need this time of no demand. In some places, it's, you know, more intense in terms of our configuration of living, but we all need it. And part of what we're talking about here is when as a couple, we can come to that understanding that that need is not a threat to the relationship necessarily. And that one of the ways we can be generous with each other is to help create some space for each other. And, you know, what I always love about that too is space, you know, creates polarity. It creates eroticism too. When my partner's been gone for a couple of days, I'm like, ooh, there's some like charge here. There's some excitement to see her again. And that's one of the many benefits in addition to everything else we're talking about.
I'm really glad you spoke to that. And I think that's another example of, again, the training in self-sacrifice versus the healthy balance of my needs and your needs, my needs and your needs, my needs and your needs, not your needs, your needs, your needs, your needs. My needs are nowhere to be seen. And I think that's another, that's just a great noticing about parenting and space. And one of the things that I really love about what you said was the willingness to create and take space from children and in a parenting scenario is healthy role modeling. You are transmitting, right? It's a transmission. It's not you saying, yeah, it's important to be able to take space. You're actually demonstrating mommy needs some space. Or mommy needs some alone time. It's important for us to have alone time sometimes so that we can learn what we're thinking instead of what other people are thinking or whatever, whoever you want to explain it. But you're actually giving a gift to your kids when you can do that. And, you know, I think it used to be easier in some ways to take space when we had extended family and we had more sort of childcare and support. It takes a lot more coordination when you are, you know, single, well, for sure, single parenting, but even double parenting. I don't know what it's called when you're parenting with two, but it's just a good thing to be aware of and to know that there is something deeply healing about if you did come from a background of self-sacrifice or neglect, there's something deeply powerful and healing about you learning this skill. And learning this skill in partnership, right, with your partner is, like you said, the way you phrased it just now was a deeply generous act. It's a deeply generous act to help our partner take the space they need and for them to help us take the space that we need. And that's, you know, I think I'll just give one example of how the hell do we talk about this, right? How do we talk about this? How do we say it? And I think that, you know, listening or sharing an episode like this can be a way of getting the ball rolling and just having an open conversation about how do we make it safe in our relationship to take space? Like, how are we going to do this? Or how do we do this? I'll give you a very brief example. One thing I've seen repeatedly in the men that we work with is that as they are moving through the program, growing, learning, expanding, stepping into their power, this becomes one of the ways that they assert themselves in a healthy way. I remember one of our clients was dating a new woman and, you know, it was like a couple weeks in or maybe a couple months in, it's pretty new. And there was a Friday and she texted him with like, hey, do you want to watch a movie or get together, do something? And he had this whole conflict in himself because it had been a long week. And his truth was, no, I don't want to hang out. I don't want to spend time with my woman. I want to be alone. Like, I need space. And so in the past, he would have felt guilty, felt obligated, said yes, and then been quietly resentful, not that present, a little checked out, right, on the date or during the hangout, which would have been a really terrible position for her to be in, because it's like, we're spending time together, but I feel like there's something, like there's some weird energy. I don't know what it is. And maybe she wouldn't say anything because she'd be like, oh, maybe I'm making it up and there's nothing. Anyway, he chose not to do that. Instead, he took a risk and he said, hey, I love spending time with you. And my truth is, I need Friday night to myself in order to recharge. Can we get together some other time during the weekend? And she said, yes. She just said, yes. She just said, yes. She was like, oh yeah, no problem. And maybe it stung a little bit, but she was able to hold herself through that experience. And I think that's an example of a green flag, right? It's like if someone if someone emotionally punishes you for that request, well, that's information about them. And I think that is a good example of why it feels like such a risk to ask for space is the guilt part and the, you know, how is this person going to take it, right? How are they going to take this? Are they going to take it as a threat? Are they going to take it as, I don't want to see you, I'm not interested? Are they going to take it as rejection? And it was, he said, the first time in his life, he said, I've never done that before in relationship. I've never actually said, actually, I want the night to myself. And I really liked the phrasing because it included the why, which is to recharge, right? I need this night to myself to recharge, which I think is pretty good phrasing, right? It's like, it's not, there is no perfect, there's never going to be perfect, but that's pretty good in terms of including why. And then he got to see her response. He got to see how she took it. Like, was she actually cool with it? Or did she punish him later on? One of our clients responded here, to that question about, you know, how do you respond when someone asks for space? What does it feel like when your partner tells you that they need space? And he said, given my own understanding of the importance of space, I recognize and respect my partner's need for it as well. My approach is to ensure that we both can articulate this need without fear or guilt, fostering an environment where individual growth is seen as integral to the health of our relationship. Individual growth is seen as integral to the health of our relationship. Seeing the positive impact of this practice in relationships around me, where partners support each other's need for space with understanding and encouragement, has reinforced my commitment to maintaining this balance in my own relationships. But I really liked that part about individual growth is integral to the health of us. So your wellness is integral to our wellness as a couple. So for him to have taken that space on that Friday night was better for their relationship. And truly, you know, that's really true, because the other scenario I laid out is like much worse for their relationship. He goes and spends time with her. He's silently resentful, doesn't inform her of why. Feels kind of like, ugh, like there's something, but I don't know what it is. They're not connecting. Well, now their relationship is less strong. Now they've got this other thing to deal with. And of course, there's never, you know, it's never too late. It's easy in that scenario to also say at some point, here's what happened. I actually needed space and I didn't take it and I didn't tell you. And that's why I was weird and withdrawn and I'm sorry. And next time I want to ask for the space that I need, and I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. You know, if I had said, actually, I need space, how would that have been for you to receive? What are your needs around space, right? I think mature relationships include conversations about the relationship, these meta conversations. And I think that's something that we need to teach in school, frankly, and just create more, ironically, space around, is how to have conversations about our relationship before we're engaging in conflict about them. So for example, on third or fourth date, or we've been dating for a little while, let's talk about space. What happens for you when you need space before it's happening? And I'm curious if you can, you know, speak a little bit to that in your own maturing of relationship. How has that been for you, having the meta conversations about these kinds of topics?
Yeah, I think it's been successful, obviously, in my marriage, in partly because I wanted to have these conversations earlier, and we had a lot of opportunity to explore it just in terms of our first year together. But the willingness to kind of, another way to think about these meta conversations are, what do we want the culture and the values of our relationship to be? And that's something that, to a shocking degree, couples often don't do. There's just all these assumptions that we each hold, that we're given by our culture about what it's supposed to be, how you're supposed to spend time together. And it doesn't leave a lot of space for actually creating something that's unique to the two of you, if it's, you know, a duo. And meta conversations tend to always relax my partner, right? When we kind of zoom out a little bit and talk about this stuff, one of the things that's really good for and has been in our relationship, you know, as even something in retrospect, a place I didn't do this so great was when we were going to have our kid. We didn't really talk about how we were going to kind of manage that afterwards. And now in retrospect, it's much clearer. Like, okay, if this happens again, we need to get really on the same page with each other of how are we going to spend our time in the day? What are our expectations? How are we each going to get space in a sense? But that when I do have the meta conversations like this space one, it always relaxes my partner and it allows us to then engage in the moments where it's an issue with less charge. Because we have a little context around, okay, yeah, this we're just, I need space right now. That's what this is about. And we've agreed to this kind of shared value of, okay, when a partner asks for space, we're going to work to try to give it to them. Like that's a generous thing we want to offer in our relationship. So it's just been successful for me, I guess is about as much as I can say about that. And it's not a one-time conversation, right? As our relationship has evolved, our needs have changed around that too, right? And they will continue to as we age. And so this is a conversation, you know, at different phases, I can see us revisiting as well. Like, hey, you know, here's kind of what we've been operating by, but like, let's check in. Are we both getting enough? Do we need more? Is there stuff we could do more proactively to just support both of our needs here as well?
I think it's inspiring to just hear about it working, right? Hearing about it being successful. And I would agree that in my experience, I haven't been with very many partners who have been proactive about bringing up meta conversations. But when they have, I have felt much more relaxed. And it feels like being led, being guided in a deep way that generates polarity, basically. And I think, you know, I'll give an example of this is I work with couples sometimes as well as the men in our program. And I was working with a couple and I said, let's do an exercise where we talk about what activities do you find grounding? What helps you ground, each of you? And that was illuminating for them for several reasons. And one of them is because we talk about co-regulation in our work and co-regulating a partner. And so one thing that can be regulating is a really long hug, like a 7 breath or more hug where you're really letting your bellies relax. This is a known physiological practice. A lot of psychologists will recommend. And it can also be regulating to go for a walk, right? And so just the exercise of here are activities that I find grounding, or here are ways that I ground, then you can support your partner in moments of dysregulation around those practices. And that's an example of a meta conversation, right? We're not in a state of dysregulation right now. We're actually both regulated, but we're talking about when I'm upset or when I'm anxious or when I'm stressed, what are some healthy ways that I can regulate? So not necessarily overeating, right? But like going for a walk or playing guitar or talking to a close friend, right? Talking to a close friend and just being able to be heard without any filter. That for me is a regulating strategy that helps me regulate. There are other ways that I do as well, but that's a valid need depending on who you are. So I think that there's something really healing about these kinds of meta conversations, because they're also the conversations that weren't had in our households. We never had the conversation about how do you regulate? Let's talk about it. You know, I think those are conversations people are having with their children now, but there wasn't a lot of those. How do we talk about things as a family in most of our homes? That was not included. We didn't have family meetings or, you know, ways of processing emotions together or discussions about how do we want to support each other in this season as you're moving into high school. Like there's going to be some changes. How are we going to navigate that? You know, many family systems don't do that. So there's something inherently healing about bringing that into the culture of a relationship, even an established relationship. If you're listening to this and you're in an established relationship, you can do that. So I wanted to go back to, what does it feel like when you don't get this need met? What does it feel like when you aren't given the space that you need? This part called out to me. This person said, if I don't get the space I need, it feels controlling and smothering. It brings up trauma triggers from times that my partner was controlling and would not give me space. I would need to use my tools of stating a boundary, taking myself away to create the space I need. When I'm given the space I need, it creates more safety in our relationship, an opportunity for me to nurture myself in the way that I need so that I can come back in a better headspace with more fuel in my emotional bank. We can have more productive conversations and create intimacy in healthier ways when I'm allowed space for what I need. And I have heard this type of response from many people, which is that feeling of being smothered, right? It's like when I'm not given the space that I need, I feel small, I feel constricted, I feel smothered, I feel like, oh, and there can be a pushing away effect of now I want to get away from you rather than I want to be close to you. So I think there is a way that it can backfire when we're afraid. It's like, I'm afraid if my partner takes space, she won't want to come back. Or he won't want to come back, right? There's a fear. And so I think that there's the reason to bring this to light is to kind of essentially soothe the parts of us that are threatened by a partner needing space, because those parts need soothing. Those parts are real. Often they're young and they can't be running the show, because if they're running the show, they are actually going to push the person away that you want to keep close, right? It's like, that's the whole idea of backfiring, is like, this is going to create the opposite impact from the impact that you want. You know, you want your partner to feel close to you and you want to be close to them, but smothering them, right? Not giving them that space, sort of shaming them for needing that space. For example, like, well, why do you need to go out? You just went out with your girlfriends last week. Why do you need to go again? Right? That's not going to help. That's actually going to push them away. So I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit to that part about how do we soothe ourselves when we're confronted with like, ooh, that feels a little challenging. You know, that feels a little hard to hear that she wants to go spend time with her family, or she wants to, you know, take the afternoon. You know, I thought we were going to go hiking together, but she wants to go by herself. Like how can we soothe ourselves in those moments?
Well, any longtime listener here will know, I'd say get connected to your buddies. That's a good opportunity to bring some attention to other men, get some of your connection needs met elsewhere, for one, of just like, hey, yeah, I'm feeling a little stung right now. My partner needed some space. And is anyone available, you know, for a chat or something like that is awesome. And it's, you know, sometimes partners just need more space, but something I will speak to is for some nice guys who are more on the anxious side of things, this is, you know, that request can be very confronting, because it is pointing to, you know, it's not necessarily the most attractive thing when a partner feels they're the only place we can get all of our needs met. So it can be a lot of pressure, right? And sometimes that pressure, we just need a little space from. So there's a chance to you know, get connected to others, do the practices we teach, get into nature, do some things that restore you. And, you know, we're always going to encourage men in particular to keep filling up your bucket, right? Figuring out what nourishes you so that your partner can be an awesome part of that, but isn't only that. Because paradoxically, the more they're only that, the more we often push people away. If they can feel, oh my God, they need us. They need me. I need a break, right? I mean, again, as example of a parent, it's like a direct correlation. Like if we need space and we're not taking it, we get agitated, and then our kid actually gets clingier. They come towards us even more, and it just becomes this like whole thing where it's like, okay, I just need some space, and you know, someone else might have to step in to take care of the kid or whatever. But this is just such a huge growing opportunity for men to learn to, right, the sensation that comes up of insecurity in that moment or discomfort, your willingness to work with that on yourself is often directly related to why sometimes partners would feel like they needed to take space. You know, if it wasn't just a temperamental thing, but was just like, yeah, I need some space from you. And we hear that, right? We definitely hear that from some of our guys. You know, they're so into a relationship or so thrilled to finally be in it that there can be like a gripping to it. And it's just like, oh, we just need to relax that a little bit and know that, yeah, I'm going to do my thing. You can do your thing. I think a big, one last thing I'll weave in here is this word that keeps coming up is, right, part of what's related to taking space or allowing a partner to take space is also trust, right? That I trust that you'll come back. Not everybody has that experience, you know, depending on their family of origin or childhood or previous relationships. But by giving a partner space, that is one way you can give someone trust. And in my experience, feeling trusted by my partner feels really good. It feels really good when I can sense my partner's trusting me or when I'm trusting her. And this is a very concrete place where that can show up. It's like, ooh, yeah. My God, does she not like me? I don't know. Like she wants to take the night off or just do things with the girls. Okay, I'm going to trust. I'm enough. This relationship's enough. It's okay for her to take some space and we're going to come back and be as strong as ever or whatever that might be. And paradoxically, you know, trust is also attractive. I think like when a man is trusting himself and trusting his partner, that does something as well. And it's like, okay, cool. I can't wait to see you. Thanks for letting me go. Right? Like there's just something lovely to that, that we can feel. So it's a powerful point of practice to deal with that in yourself, whether it's connecting with men, doing the practices, stuff we've talked about, or just deciding, I'm going to trust my partner. I'm going to trust her needs. I trust that she knows what she needs here and that is not in conflict with her desire to be with me.
Well said. And I would just add that, yeah, this is an opportunity to lean into growth work. So working with mentors, working with, I guess what I would say is ultimately part of what we're talking about here is attachment. And secure attachment is actually when we do trust and we are able to take space. You know, they talk about children who are securely attached versus anxious or avoidant. When you look at them, they're not with their parents gazing into their parents' eyes. They're off doing things in the world, knowing that they have a secure base to come back to. So secure attachment is not about soulfully leaning into each other and being codependent. It's actually about we feel safe and secure with one another, which means we're able to go off and do things in the world, knowing that there's a safe place to come back to. So, and, you know, I think that sometimes I guess what I want to say is I don't want to make it sound easier than it is, right? Getting to secure attachment is a journey, especially if you've come from a less than ideal family situation, like family of origin. If you didn't have healthy role models, if you experienced neglect, for example, then it's going to take something to get there, and you can get there. It is possible. Personal growth work works. So there's a reason we do it. There's a reason that we see and witness transformation in our clients, and as do many therapists and others. And it's not always about this one perfect modality. It's about being in the game and trying lots of things and doing lots of things and working with different mentors in different seasons. And it's totally worth it. It works. So that's something that just occurred to me is, yeah, if this is coming up in your relationship, if it's like, wow, I've noticed that I get really triggered if my partner wants space, and it's really, really hard for me to trust. It's really hard for me to actually give them that space. That's probably something that you're going to work on a bit is what is happening for you around that. And it is possible to get more comfortable. And, you know, I'm thinking of one of the clients that I'm working with right now, has noticed a distinct shift in over the past like 6 to 9 months of, you know, he's not completely dysregulated when his partner needs space or takes space. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm noticing the anxiety, but it's not debilitating the way that it was before, right? It's like the scale has gone down. And we talk about that sometimes of, you know, often it's like, if something is at a 10 right now, it's never going to be a zero, but it can drop to 6, it can drop to a 4, it can drop to a 2. And that's really where we want to be going, is in the direction of progress, not in the direction of perfection, because perfection is an illusion. So, yeah, I'm curious, as we're starting to wrap up here, if you have any other, I have one sort of funny example of how not to give space, which is, I remember I like London and Justin are some of my mentors, my teachers, and London is a woman, and she told a story once about Justin tactfully trying to communicate to her that he needed space, right? More space in their relationship. And one of the ways that he did that was by going to the gym. And he went to the gym and she like texted him 3 times about things. And he had to sort of gently be like, that's not giving space, right? Giving space is like genuinely. And it's not just about receiving the texts, but it's about the energy, the energetics of like, he's at the gym, but I'm thinking about him at the gym. What's he doing at the gym? How's it going at the gym? Like, that's very different than, you know, to your point about like, if a man is feeling some of that anxiety, reach out to your men, right? Go connect with someone of in your community while she's connecting with people in her community. And so they had a whole meta conversation about what it actually means to give space, which is both physical and energetic. It's not just about, you know, you're going to go off and do this other thing, but it's like, I'm going to mentally let go. I'm going to emotionally allow. I'm going to, you know, unhook, ungrip, and create that space within myself to give you that space within you. And that's the part that if that's very, very challenging for you, then that's something you're going to want to look at, because there's something there. There's some young part that hasn't quite been integrated, that's gripped, that's in a state of fear, that's in a state of panic, whatever it is, around what if, et cetera. And that part is not on your partner to figure out. They can work with you compassionately around meeting your needs. And there's a certain degree of responsibility that we all need to take for taking care of ourselves and being able to give and receive space. And that might require, yeah, some work with some mentors. And likewise, if you find that it's almost impossible for you to assert your need for space or even know when you need space, you're probably going to want to work with some mentors as well around that, because there's some part of you that's in freeze around that, that doesn't feel capable or even know, doesn't even know what it wants and isn't capable of speaking up for itself. That's something you're going to want to get some help around, because you are at risk of being put in some pretty gnarly scenarios when you can't speak to your own needs.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to think about this is, oh, if a partner asks for space, what a great opportunity for me to get aware of, what do I need right now? How can I tend my own garden, so to speak? Like, there's a way you can lean into that of, oh, I can use this as an opportunity to take care of myself right now, which can you be part of that gift. And, you know, for the, you know, there's a certain subset, I think, of couples that just, they're just good together a lot of the time, right? And they just kind of slot into that. And I would say to think of this as actually additive and not subtractive to that, in terms of, I think the quality of time you can have together could be actually increased by sometimes taking a little space apart and getting to explore some difference and time away. And that it can actually, like I said, bring a lot of energy back to the relationship. So you don't even always have to take space when things are going wrong, but it can be a way to just bring more energy to the system as well. It's like, hey, I love you. And, you know, I think I'm just going to go up to the cabin for a couple days, and I want you to just take a couple days. Let's see how that feels when you come back. And my sense is, for a lot of couples, particularly when you have that strong base, again, there's going to be some more energy there. There's going to be some more, you know, kind of polarized life force there that can then be an additive to that. So it doesn't always have to be a crisis of, oh my God, I need space or you need space. But like, hey, what if we run an experiment where I go do my own thing on this little trip, or you do your own thing on that little trip? And it can be so great to see a partner move towards something that they're interested in about or passionate about, and come back like even more in touch with themselves. I think that's something I've gotten to see before of like, oh, that feels great. That feels so good. And so just to throw that out there for anyone who's part of a relationship where, yeah, maybe it feels comfortable and you don't feel like you need to take space, and your partner doesn't feel like you need to take space, there's still, I would argue, an experiment you could run here that will probably bring back some more energy to the relationship long-term.
I love that. And that's the sort of positive vision and what's possible when this is working, when there is harmony, when there is trust, when both people are able to take the space that they need, is is the re-energizing, right? It is the you know, that effect of bringing more back and having things to talk about, having things to share, even on just feeling appreciation. You know, I was in a relationship and I went and I don't know, I got margaritas with my friends or something. I did something and I came back and I like pounced on him and I was all excited to see him and we had sex and it was really great. And he said something like, wow, you should go out with your friends more often. And it was like, it was just the perfect example of, yeah, I could have stayed in, we could have watched Netflix and chilled and it would have been fine, but I missed him, right? I went out with my friends, I was talking about it. And I think also sometimes, I don't know if you've heard this quote before, but someone once said, if you were with a whole bunch of people and everyone threw their problems up in the air, you would run to catch your own. So sometimes just being around people and hearing about what they're going through in their relationship, you're like, man, my partner's really great. And so you come back and you're like, you're really great. It's like this sunshine effect of the comparison in a good way. So yeah, I think that vision and holding on to that vision and just bringing awareness and light to that vision of this can be a really restorative and generative part of relationship is taking space and then coming back together, taking space and coming back together and allowing that, you know, allowing that missing, I missed you a little bit, even if it was just for an afternoon or just for a day, it's like, it's good to see you again. There's something really beautiful about that. And for those of you that listened to the MDMA episode that we dropped recently, there is a part in there about the therapist had the couple take, I think, the first hour to themselves and then brought them together. And there was just such a moment of reconnection rather than they both taking the medicine together, being together the whole time, creating some distance, some separation that then the reconnection happened is a powerful practice. And I think this is a version of that. So I think that's all we have time for. I think that's all we have time for. I guess I would just touch on several responses mentioned another segment to this, which we're not going to go into depth around, but I just wanted to mention, which is for some people, they are going to need to take space during moments of tension, also known as conflict. This one person said, especially during conflict, to me, taking space means my nervous system feels dysregulated and I need time away to re-regulate. I try to keep it to under an hour and make that clear. And you also alluded to your partner leaving the house and needing some time to re-regulate. I often find a walk is helpful for me. I have done this in relationship as well of, I need to take a walk. I'm overwhelmed. I will be back. This isn't the end, right? I'm going to come back. And like, this is too much for me right now. I'm flooded and I can't think. I need some space to process a little bit. So this episode wasn't really about that, but I did want to mention that several people mentioned it. And it is, I think, another important place to have a meta conversation before necessarily conflict or more moments of tension. To just say, hey, let's talk about how we do this, right? What are your needs? What are my needs? What can we experiment with so that we both feel safe and secure when in moments of tension? Because that's really when, you know, we're not able to think as clearly when we're actually in the moments of tension. So it can be helpful to strategize beforehand. So if you are interested in mentorship or coaching from us, you can always apply at evolutionary.men/apply and you can find out more. We also have a free training if you're interested in that. And if you would like to join the Patreon community, you can do that. Just Google Dear Men Podcast and Patreon. It'll come up. And if you join at a $10 a month level or more, you will get access to our free or sorry, not free because you're a patron, but our live Q&As that we do monthly. And it's a great community. So please come on in if that's interesting to you. And if you have any questions or comments, as always, you can get me at dearmenpodcast@gmail.com.